Who else am I missing? The classrooms, I'm trying to think. We're good. Everyone else, turn to Psalm chapter 19, verse 9. Now, the year that we started, this year's theme that we started the theme for it is build victory, sweeter than honey, stronger than gold. And I made that on purpose, the theme, for this reason. Last year it was Love Works, right? The acronym, Living Out Victory Every Day. That's what love stands for our church. And, well, how is it that it works? Well, we have to have faith in who? God. That's the only way. God is what? Love. For us to experience the victory in our life, we must live it. We must apply that faith. We can't live by sight. We must live by faith. Amen? As a Christian, as a believer, each and every one of us must. Miss Lauren, I forgot about that. I will, after this, please remind me, and I'll wait for the kids to come out. I know they want to be a part of it, not to make a big deal. Amen? And also, we must have faith in God. And the reason I'm saying that, because... the reason I'm saying about the faith works, because you must have faith in God in order for your life to work, in order for us to experience victory. But how can we build upon that faith? You know, it's the foundation. We build our home, we build the church, we build our marriages, we build our finances on God, having faith in God. How can you build upon that? Well, He left us His word. The Bible says, Brother Benjamin, the Psalm. Nope, that's not the one. All right, praise the Lord. It's okay. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 19, if you don't mind going there, Psalm 19. We're going to go to Psalm 19. This is the psalmist, David. He's the king. Psalms 19, chapter 19. And look it up. It's the Old Testament. If you open your Bible, more than likely you'll fall into Psalms or either Proverbs, but it's Psalms. Amen? Psalms chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord, are you there? Amen. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, it's another name for the words, the testimonies, the precepts, the word of God. It says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous, what? Altogether. Amen. And, of course, it's using it in a different way, like a judge making a judgment, right? A judgment call, fair and balanced, right? It's saying this, verse 10, more to be desired, talking about His words, more to be desired are they than what? In other words, they're more valuable than what? Gold. Yea, than much fine gold. When a gold material goes through the fire, it's going through refinement. So it can come out what? Refined and better, right? That's what we go through in the Christian life. The struggles is the fire. Sweeter also than honey and the what? The word of God. How is it that you and I could build upon faith in God? We're experiencing victory every day by living it, by applying it, but we have to live by faith, trusting in God. God, I don't see the future. God, I have to believe that You're in control. I don't see the outcome. I don't see the result. I don't see how this is going to work out. Well, you have to hang on to His promises. His word, His judgment are righteous. They're right. I can't go based off of living my life out of emotion or what I think. My thoughts. I have to live my life from the Word of God because the Bible says it's stronger than gold. In other words, it's the Word of God that's going to help me go through that fire and refine my marriage, refine me as an individual. I understand there's an industry, what is it, for self-development or self-improvement. And so what they do, they teach you how to speak, they give you books, they give you materials, they help you go through this whole ordeal to make you a better version of yourself. Can I tell you what can beat that? Word of God. It's the word of God that are his promises. They will make you stronger, more valuable than gold. They're going to help you outlast even more gold. Hey, Pastor, why is that important? Think about the day and age they were living in. Gold was very valuable. Honey was very valuable at that time. It was sweet. The word of God is soothing to your soul. When you read the word of God, it draws out that joy of God. You get to experience that with God when you have a relationship with God. You don't just read the word of God just to know and have knowledge of God. But when you actually read the word of God and you begin to apply it in your life, like those apps on your phone, it makes life a lot more enjoyable. That's what the word of God does when we apply it, when we obey it. That's why the theme, how do we build victory? Yeah, by faith, but how do you build upon faith? By the word of God. If you and I want to experience true victory this year in 2026, you know, the goal is to build and to accommodate the growth in our church. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to tell you, it can't be by my doing. It can't be by your doing. It can't be by our thoughts. Amen. It must be by the word of God. It is God who has to, we have to not just trust God, we have to acknowledge him in everything we do. And listen, at the end of the day, we can't lean into our own understanding, right? We can't go based off of what we think, how we feel. Would I love that property to be open and available? Yeah, but it might not be what God wants me to do. If I want to be true to God and live by faith and say, God, I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't see how you're going to provide. I don't see how we're going to build. Guess what? I need to anchor my doubt. Doubt is not sinful. Unbelief is. Listen to what I said. I can doubt, but I don't need to stay there. I need to trust him. But I need to believe in him at least. If I don't believe in him, have unbelief, I'm not right with God. How can I reach out to God? But if I believe in God and I have doubt, what can anchor that? His promises. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me, and I will what? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou what? Interesting. That thou knowest not. There are things in your life you don't know yet that are about to happen, but you better hang on to something. It can't be your emotions. Can't be your feelings. Can't be your logic, your intuition. It can't be your will. It has to be the word of God. This is how we see godly. This is how we could see through the godly lens of God. When we allow the word of God to renew our mind and allow us to have the mind of Christ and view things as Christ would view them. That's why our theme is stronger than gold, sweeter than honey. Amen? That's what the word of God does. I want to share with you the first point is God's word is more valuable than what we chase. God's word is more valuable than what we chase. I don't know. Don't pay attention to that scripture there. I don't know why that's on there. Amen. But Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. I just shared with you in Psalm chapter 19, David is comparing God's word to the most valuable and pleasurable things known to man at that day and age, right? But it's amazing because David is declaring, you know what? Pleasure, wealth. He's declaring that the word of God outlasts both of those things. I don't know what brings you pleasure in your life. I promise you the word of God will outlast that. That pleasure is temporary. I don't know what kind of wealth you might think will be enough, but I promise you God's word will outlast that wealth that you think is necessary in order for you to live your life. Understand that all fades. All of that fades. Pleasure and wealth, it fades. But God's word doesn't expire. See, when that money fades, guess what's going to keep you right? The word of God. Guess what's going to keep you going? The word of God. Guess what's going to give you purpose? The word of God. Guess what's going to tell you to keep working? Why? I lost everything. The word of God. Matthew chapter 6, if you're with me, say amen. The Bible says, We don't have any verses there, Brother Benjamin. Oh, there you go. You got that one right. Lay not up yourselves, what? Treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Why should we not lay up treasures? Why? What's going to happen? They're going to corrupt, get corrupted. What do you mean? Cars are going to get rusted. Things are going to lose value. It's going to corrupt. Amen? It says, where thieves break through and steal, they might get stolen. Amen? Next verse. Not the one. Okay, I don't know what's going on. Amen. It's okay, brother. Verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Why should we lay up treasures or valuables or things that we value? Not instead of earth, why should we lay up things that we value in heaven? Why? Because there's no corruption. It's eternal. It's everlasting when we do so. These things that we invest in our lives that we consider valuable in our life while we're here on earth will all vanish. Amen? They will all vanish. If you and I put priority to it, guess what? It's only for a certain amount of time. And I'm not saying don't invest in love. I'm not saying that because God is love. But you have to view it in the eyes of God. He's not going to contradict himself, is he? Yes or no? We contradict God. God doesn't contradict himself. What he is saying is, why not invest in things that are for eternity? Amen? Like raising up your children in the admonition of the Lord. Like husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen? Like wives submitting to your husbands. Amen. That's eternal. It's not domination. That's the devil. I taught on that this morning at 9:15 about marriage. You know, I'm following this scroll and I'll try to be quick. But I want us to understand God's word is more valuable than what we chase. The world has corrupted this institution of marriage. In Genesis chapter 2, I showed the church and shared with them what the Bible said about Brother Jeremiah, what was that verse? Amen. Chapter 2. Do you know it? 2:24. Yeah. Do you remember how it goes? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Pastor, don't you have your notes? No, I have these notes. Amen. But it's good. You have to understand. Go ahead. Read it. Thank you. He said, man, that's not deep. It's deep if you understand it in God's way. What do you mean? We look at it as, well, I'm never going to, you know, not allow my mom or dad to tell me what to do. Man, you're looking at it the wrong way. Look at it this way, in the eyes of God. This institution, was it created before sin? This commandment that God is giving, was it before sin, the fall of man? Yeah. The fall of man happens in Genesis chapter 3. This institution, was it invented before government? That's interesting. Here, this institution, was it created before sons and daughters? Well, if you know a little bit about marriage, you realize how that works. Now, I know I'm being sarcastic, but I want you to understand, marriage is a divine institution that has been ordained by God, not by sin. It's not by Satan's distortion, misleading of the truth of how marriage should be. Not by government, not by any secular institution, so public opinion doesn't matter about what they think marriage should be. See, when you view things the way God views it, and you realize the importance of it, you start realizing, oh, no wonder I'm going through this. Oh, no wonder I can't figure this out. We have to view it in the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God does when we live by Bible principle, my friends. We're fighting in the flesh, talking about control. My friends, that's what happened after sin. Yeah. What was that next verse, brother? Do you remember? That the wife, the husband shall... I think it's... What was it? 224? Then after the sin happened, I think it's in chapter 3. After the sin happened, guess what the wife was commanded to do? She's going to have babies. Okay, she was going to have a child out of sorrow. And then her desire was going to be to her husband. You have it? Read it out loud. What's the passage? 3:16. He shall rule over thee. This happened after what? Sin. This happened after what? This was not part of the plan. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 5? I'm not re-preaching the morning, but it's a good truth here. Because I want you to understand that God's word is more valuable than what we chase. You know what we think marriage is about? Control. It's never been about that. We're looking at it and viewing it the wrong way. It was Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Yeah, thank you. You know what God says about marriage and the design? Husbands, you're supposed to submit to your wives too. Oh, what? I only heard wives submit. I mean, that's a specific command, but it doesn't take away from the husband submitting to the wife too. That's spiritual. Under the authority of who? God. That's marriage. That's the design of marriage. What? I'm the man. I'm in control. Yeah, that's what the devil wants you to think. Amen. I get it. We're the head of the home. We make the last call. But it's not talking about domination or domineering or being condescending. It's not a control thing. It's not a power play. The Bible's always dictated, exposed the dynamics of a relationship. But that happened after sin. Why is it important for us to get into the Word of God? Because it's God's Word that is more valuable than what we chase. We think it's about control. We think it's about power. We think about who's right. We think about who's wrong. And we're thinking about the wrong thing, my friends. That's why it's important for us to lay up treasures in heaven. How do I do that? By obeying the Word of God. Does that make sense, yes or no? This is why child rearing is important. How should you rear your children? The way the Bible says. Train up in a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not what? Put in priority to that. Amen. Now, you could say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay. That's going to be temporary. Don't. Please. You could always come to me. You can always come to this church. We'll love you. But don't blame us. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, the Bible says, in Judges. Either you're going to go that route, or you're going to go the route that God chooses. Pastor, well, how can I know that? It's in the Word of God. I'm afraid that when we get into the Word of God, we read it like a book, and we're knowledgeable about God, but we have no idea who God is. That's the difference. What good is it if you read love letters from your loved one, but you don't really know your loved one because you're not in a relationship with your loved one. You just show up to the house as if it's a, what do you call those? A hotel. Amen. It's a relationship, my friends. It's a relationship. Get involved. Apply the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. This is not a book in a love book in a series of whatever that is that, you know, people like reading. Amen. Jesus, I want you to understand, is telling us stop misplacing your priorities. Correct it. Amen. Correct your priorities. He's not condemning possessions. If you have a property, praise the Lord. God, I hope you get more properties. Is that fair? I hope that you're the type of person that loves their children and their children's children, and you leave property or inheritance to your children. But you know what's the best thing you can leave your children? A godly heritage. That's the best thing. That's eternal. What do you mean? What to look for in a young man? What to look for in a young lady? Do they think? Do they believe? The big difference. You're going to save a lot of heartache and a lot of heartbreak. Amen. See, if that young person doesn't go to a church where they teach the Word of God, You're living like the world. God's word is more valuable than what we chase. If the word of God is truly valuable, more than gold, can I tell you what it's going to show in your budget? What? In your finances. If God's word is more valuable than gold, you're going to live like God's word is more valuable than gold. And you're going to be careful how you steward and you manage your finances. Amen. Oh, man, that hits home. Yeah. Amen. That's true. We're not here to be a judge. We're here to speak truth. This is what the word of God does. It makes us feel uncomfortable. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're growing. Growing pains. Amen. It's going to make us feel. You go to the doctor to feel good or to get help. That's what this is. This is a spiritual hospital to get help. If I didn't love you, I would tell you stuff that you want to hear. If I didn't love you. But because I love you, I'm going to tell you stuff that's true. I want you to understand that if you truly value the word of God more than gold, not only will it show in your budget, but I'm going to tell you something. If you truly valued it, you'll realize, you know what? It's going to show up in my schedule. What am I prioritizing, God or myself? You know what? You would look at it in this sense or in this form. This decision today that I'm going to make, do I value God or do I value self? Do I value children? Do I value work? Do I value money? Amen, somebody. That's how this works. What you don't understand is God is not like you. He's not take, 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 take. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, whosoever, he's not like you either. He's all inclusive. He's not exclusive. He doesn't just help the people he wants to help. He helps everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen? But we think as if God is like us. God is nothing like us. And here's the irony. When you put God first, guess what he'll give you back? Your children. When you put God first, guess what he'll give you back? Your marriage. When you put God first, guess what he'll give you back? Your finances. Your health. Why do we bring this unnecessary affliction into our lives? Because we want to value what we think is important? That's wrong, my friend. That's sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? I probably misquote that, but you get the drift. It's in James if you want to read it. Amen? My point that I'm trying to make is, you know, people, this is regular for us, right? How many of you buy phones? Raise your hand. You have a phone? All right. Do you know that loses value as soon as it walks out the store? But we buy it. I buy it. I have, pray for me. Amen? I have so many phones. Amen? Pray for me. And it's not because I own them, but they're not mine. How about that? Amen? My kids have phones. Pray for me, Brother Will. Amen. As soon as they walk out the store, guess what? It loses value. How many of you have a car? A vehicle. Amen? Let's be realistic. As soon as we buy that thing and drive it off the lot, what happens to it? It breaks down. It loses value, man. And if it breaks down, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Amen? The thing about it is this. God's not even like condemning possessions, but I want you to understand, some of us, we hesitate to invest time in the scriptures. And that's actually the scriptures that will help us invest in eternity. It can shape our eternity, but we choose to invest in things that devalue in cost or the value comes down. Why would we do that? And we don't want to invest in the Bible. Amen? We don't want to invest in obedience to the word of God. God's word is more valuable. Second point. Sorry, I'll hurry. Second point. Oh, I still have time. You guys are good. God's word must move from information to obedience. And I touched on this a little bit. You know what that means? We read the Bible. We even memorize it. You know what? We even buy signs, and I'll be a culprit, amen? I'm guilty of this. Buying signs that have scripture written on it. I mean, it looks nice. My wife likes it, so I'll buy her what she wants. But I don't buy her what she wants because I like it. I'm actually putting in application the word of God of Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife as that he gave himself for it. Some of that sometimes is sacrificial, amen? I'm going to sacrifice my wants, my likes, my desires. I'd rather have Longhorn memorabilia or Houston Texans or Dallas Cowboys or, you know, anything Texas. That's just me, amen? If you don't like that, get right with God. But here's the truth. I need to push that to the side. Here's the problem. Some of us have those signs hanging there, and we don't even apply it to our life. Oh, we memorize it. This is my favorite verse. Yeah, but what is it talking about? Have you gotten to know God? What does that mean, Pastor? Have you gotten to know God? What is the relationship you you know what I'm figuring out, Miss Melissa? Because I don't want to lose our babies. You know what I'm figuring out? A lot of young people, when they hit a certain age, they stop coming to church. I don't want that to happen, ever happen to any one of our babies. And I know some of our babies are a little bit older. They're not babies. Amen. But I don't want anyone to experience that. And you know what I'm figuring out? It's because God never became real. What's so difficult? How many of you here are pastors? Raise your hand. Amen. There's only one right here, right? But do you know you can get to know God in a more deeper way? If you just get to know him through his word. See, here's the problem. We read the Bible for information instead of obedience. That's the problem. You know, you don't need the pastor, and I appreciate you coming here, but you're also commanded to come to church, not forsake the assembling. So that's between you and God. But I appreciate you coming here. It's an honor of my life, okay? I will tell you that. But you don't necessarily need the pastor's sermons. I know they help you get there a little bit quicker because of the study that the pastor does and, you know, to help you. But you can actually get to know God throughout the week. You know, church doesn't just stop on Sundays. Faith still grows between Sundays. There's six more days than just Sunday. How's your faith during those days? This is why we're trying to find ways to encourage you, to tell you, hey, get into the Word of God every day. Why, Pastor? Because if you obey the Word of God, you get to know him. Why is that important? Can anybody tell me why is that important to get to know God for yourself? Come on, quickly. There's no right and wrong answer. Hint, hint. Huh? Somebody say something? Why is it important? Quick. This is being recorded. Amen? No pressure. It draws you closer to him. How? You're the right. No. For you. I don't care about everybody. You. For you. I love Brother Mundo, man. He's going with this. Come on. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mundo. You know what that is? Connection. Now, no offense to Miss Lauren. Okay, no offense. But that's not pretty looking. Amen? Amen. Looking at Brother Mundo is not pretty. Amen. Can we use that word? Amen. But here's the thing. That's a man that's connected. I'm going to tell you why. It's not about a right answer. It's about what it means to him. Getting into the word and how it helps him throughout the day. Why are you not asking those questions? Because for you, it's going to be look different. You don't work the same place he works at. You don't take the same road that he takes to work. You don't work with the same coworkers. Maybe you do. I don't know. But my point is, you're not married to the same person. You don't have the same family. You don't have the same experience that he has. It's so important for him to get with his God and to experience and get to know God because of his experiences that he's going through in life. You follow me? That's how we connect. Stop trying to read the Bible for information. Start reading the Bible for obedience. Pastor, what do you mean? Your experience is going to be different when you get to know God. Like, I don't get, I don't have to come to church. I get to. That's a different experience. That's a different experience, my friend. Hey, I don't have to preach to you. My demeanor is different. I get to preach, to help. That's why it's different. This is not for show. This is not about optics. It's not about look or an illusion. You know what this is for? This is for faith between Sundays. How are you going to make it? You think this one service is going to help you the whole week? No. It's the Word of God that's going to help you throughout the week. Amen? I don't know where I was going with that, but Matthew 7:24. No, I'm kidding. Amen. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? But what's the key word? Yeah, you have to hear it, but you have to what? Obey it. Apply it. Which built his house upon a what? I love that. This is Jesus. He's ending the Sermon on the Mount, and he's warning the listeners, the hearers, the believers about this truth. If you get truth without obeying the truth, guess what it's going to lead to? Your home falling apart. Listen, I'm giving you prophecy right now. I know you don't understand that, but I'm prophesying a future. If you choose to be the fool and all you come to church is to listen and get information, but you don't apply it, your home will fall apart. Do I wish that for you? No. That's why I'm telling you this. Warning, warning, Jesus' words. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Okay. It's okay. But I'm trying to give you the truth. I want you to understand that you can sit in church every week and still build your house on sand. You still can. Pastor, why? If you don't what? Yeah, if you don't obey, if you don't apply, if you don't do it. That's the key. Obey. Obey, that's it. Here's some questions you probably should ask yourself during the week. Do I obey the Word of God when it's convenient? Or do I submit even when it's not? But that's being real. When you're disobedient, you see what happens. And when you're obedient, you see what happens. There's a difference. Do you submit, think about it, when it challenges your preference? That's real. Man, do you trust God's word more than your feelings? I had to ask that. So, by the way I wrote it is this. Do I trust God's word more than my feelings? Just so you know, but I'm preaching, so that's why I said it that way. But that's how I have it here. I preach to myself. Before it gets to you, my friends, it got the butterflies that were around there flying. They're marching in order. Amen. All of that stuff. It's gone through this system here. Gotten convicted. I cried. I've gotten mad. I've gotten happy. Amen. So before it hits you, I'm just letting you know, it hits me. Why, Pastor? Because I'm a sinner just like you, saved by grace. I'm a type of person that needs the Word of God every day of his life, just like you. Just like you. None of us have arrived. None of us will. But if we can learn to live a more excellent way, we're going to value the Word of God to the point that we obey it. Here's the third point. Oh, man, I still have time. I could have kept going. Amen. No. God's word builds what storms cannot destroy. That's a good one, too. Amen. I don't usually say that, but that's a good one. Psalm 127:1, if you come to our home, or if you've ever been to our home in the back patio, amen, you'll see this engraved in our concrete slab. In the front one, we have Joshua, you know. But this Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, except God builds your home. Except you make a priority that, God, you're going to build my home. You're going to keep my children right. You're going to keep my marriage right. You're going to keep my finance. Except God build your home. They labor, work, put effort, exert, any exertion, right? They labor in vain that build it. All that work is empty, to no avail. There's no value, in vain. except the Lord keep, protect, guard the city, T-Town, Tyler, amen. The watchman, oh no, we're in White House. The watchman waketh, but what? Doesn't matter who's protecting it. Doesn't matter what forces you have. If God's not keeping that city, man, doesn't matter. Pastor, what's the point? Well, here's the point. Psalm here is reminding the children of Israel at their time that success without God's involvement is wasted. It's in vain. It's empty. It's not valuable. And I want you to see that even if you put effort, it's wasted effort. I don't care how success looks to you or to me. It can even look productive. Guess what? It's wasted. Amen. It's wasted. You can build fast. You can build big. You can even impress. But guess what? You can still build in vain. If what? If God isn't the foundation of what you're building on. Your family could be a nice looking family, but if God's not the foundation, guess what? It'll fall apart. All your finances for now can look nice. Maybe have 1, 2 zeros. Hopefully some of you have 4, 5, 6, 7 zeros. Amen. We're having a building fund. Amen. But, you know, guess what? Doesn't matter how many zeros you have there. Amen. At least have a number in front of them. But doesn't matter how many zeros you have. Right now, if God's not the foundation, it'll fall apart. Amen. We need to be careful with this, folks. God's word is what builds what storms cannot destroy. It is the word of God. Doesn't matter what you experience. Doesn't matter what you go through. If God is not the foundation, it's going to fall apart. Next verse, I believe it's Hebrews. And this word, this what? This what? This is so important. God's word, this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. You know what the word of God does? Shakes it off, brother. Those things that you don't need in your life. You know what the word of God does? It burns away the unnecessary junk that you have in your life. That's what the word of God does. It purges away everything that's dead and rot. It says, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are what? Made. As those things which cannot be what? May remain. What are the things that cannot be shaken, my friends? The word of God. Everything that's founded on what? God's word. Read the Bible. Get to know God. Stop reading it for information. This is why it doesn't make sense. God, how does this apply to my life? Man, I'm going to tell you, that applies to my life so many ways. He's still shaking some of those things off. Amen? I'm probably not the husband that I need to be yet. By the way, I never will be until we get to heaven. But I'm going to work on it. You see, I'm probably not the dad that I need to be. I'm going to work on it. You see, I'm probably not the pastor that I need to be. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to work on it. And you know what's going to last? As the pastor, as a father, as the husband. Guess what's going to last? God's word. Those things that are founded in the word of God that cannot be what? Shaken. Man, that's a sermon in itself. Amen. God allows shaking to remove everything that's temporary in our lives. Everything that's not eternal, he'll move it. And you know what's only going to last? That's going to remain? Only those things that are eternal, that have value. God chooses his word to do that. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Pastor, what is the point that I can leave the overall truth? I'll tell you this. If God built it, storms won't destroy it. You know what storms, why storms comes into your life? Why they come into your life? To prove it. To prove it. If God built it, storms will not destroy it, but what they will do, they will prove it. As the piano plays, as we build victory, let's commit to unity that is eternal, not to division. Our church needs unity. By the way, what we have in plan and in store, what God has in store, we have to be united by it, right? We can't be divided. But we have to allow the word of God to take us there. My friends, if we want to build victory this coming year, we need to choose scripture over strategy. Strategy will not remain. You know what will remain? The scriptures. Oh, my friends, we need to use the word of God for our lives. Use the word of God for our relationships. Use the word of God in our individual walk with God, not strategy. You know, if we want to build victory in 2026, we need to commit prayer over pressure. Many times pressure comes in our life. Again, those storms are to expose what He's built. Amen? To shake off those things that are temporary in our life. But we need to pray. Mamas, you need to pray. You need to pray. You say, what about dads? Dads do too, but there's just something special. To me, the closest love that I've seen here on earth, I've experienced too, but I've seen it. It's a mother's love. They sacrifice. They give. They give willingly, generously. Even when it's undeserving, they still give in love. That's the closest thing I've seen to God's love in this world. Mamas, pray. Pray for those babies. Pray for the loved ones. Pray. Pray. But I'm going to tell you something. We must build victory. If we commit to obedience, I promise you, the victory will come. Don't worry about if it looks right. Don't worry about the image. Don't worry about the optics. Worry about obeying. We're not asking God to bless our plans. You know what we're asking God? To build our church. We're not asking God to bless what we want to do. No. We're asking God to build our families, our marriages, our homes, our finances. I don't care about what I think, my friends, and I'm not trying to be mean or I'm not talking down about myself. I'm trying to explain to you this is the key. Get to know who God is. Ask the right questions. You know what the right question is? The wrong question. Because you're not going to be polished when you start in this relationship. You're not going to ask the right question, but at the same time, you're getting to know God. And that experience, my friends, is valuable. It's not temporary. Sweeter than honey, what does the Word of God do? It satisfies. Stronger than gold, what does the Bible do? It endures. Solid as a foundation, a bedrock, the rock. What does it do? The Word of God helps us stand. Stand. 2026, let's stand for God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's your truth that changes lives. It's your truth that we can hold on to your promises. Like 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I pray, God, not only as a church, but Lord, as a family, as a people that not only love you, but love one another, and we encourage one another and pull one for one another, regardless of sometimes we might not be where we need to be or up to par, or some of us might be a little immature, whatever the situation. As a family, Lord, help us build wisely. As a family, help us build obediently, and as a family, help us build victory on the solid rock in 2026. The honor and glory be to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you for being here. I just want you to know my passion in my heart is to build what God wants us to build. And sometimes, I don't know if you noticed this, but we've been doing church for 11 years. And sometimes we don't do things right. You follow me? But here's the thing. Did we do it truthfully? Sincerely, genuinely, believing that it's truth that we were following. That's what makes the difference. Because it shows your intention. It shows your what? Your motives. And I hope And I pray that you would understand that your pastor, your pastor's wife and family, we're not about gain, monetary gain. We are about gaining what God has in store for us. Amen? And I wish that upon you as well. Today, what I'd like to do, and I wanted the kids out here, but I didn't want to make a big deal. Amen? Brother Edmundo and Ms. Lauren, they've been coming to our church for over 10 years now. Amen? And they actually joined our Decade Award. Amen? It's a blessing. Amen? And so I guess it just slipped our minds, and we didn't realize it, but just to make it official, amen, thank you so much, amen. I didn't know it slipped our minds. We wanted to make them members of our church, even though they've been here for 10 years, amen. He said, Pastor, they're not members. Hold on. Let not the gossip train leave, okay, amen. We're right here, amen. All right, we're right here, okay. And the reason I'm saying that, because we just want to make sure if we didn't, we're doing it now. Brother Edmundo and Miss Lauren, amen. We just want to recognize you as members of our church. Let's give them a round of applause, amen. And they didn't want a big deal, but they wanted to make sure that, you know, we just did things right. And I appreciate that integrity, because many people would be like, well, it's been this long. What are people going to think? We're family. Can we say that? We're family. We're church family, amen. And so we always invite that. Say, Pastor, are there things you don't do right?